And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. As most of you know, I am a fan of history. When my daughter wants to study, I cover the history. If she needs to know math and science, you know who she goes to. It's hard when you try to make a summary of history, take your pick of what event. What are you going to say, and what are you not going to say? You can't tell everything. You'll either get very bogged down in details, or maybe in some cases, the more historians say, the more we say, well, why didn't you say that? Why did you say what about that? You miss something. And so it's hard. And we, those of us who have family members who died and are in the place of attempting to give a eulogy are in the same boat. How can I summarize? In my case, my father, who lived till he was 96, and I was one of the eulogies. Okay, I want to make it brief and to the point. What am I going to say? While Hebrews 11 is not a eulogy, it is a summary of some of the heroes of the faith. And this morning, I'm going to be covering Jacob, Joseph, and Moses. What are we going to say, and what are we not going to say? First of all, in regard to Jacob, Christians have long been bothered by Rebekah and Jacob's deception of Isaac. Our discomfort is understandable, but we should bear in mind that the Holy Scripture is simply telling us what happened. The cunning, scheming, and deception of Rebekah and Jacob are not being held up as a model for us. In fact, Jacob's name means one who grasps at the heel, which he did even as his twin brother was born. And Jacob had that trait through a good part of his life. But it's interesting to note what is spoken of in this passage about both Jacob and Joseph's faith in summary form connected to the actions just before their death and the details of their burial. Hebrews 11, 21 and 22 says this, "But by faith Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones." We have Jacob blessing his sons and worshiping God as he leans on a staff. We read of Jacob blessing his sons in Genesis 49, which is a prophecy of his sons' lives, and it's also an act of worship as Jacob, later known as Israel, trusts in the Lord to guide him as he blesses his sons. Jacob, who was born and lived a good part of his life grasping at the heel of his brother Esau, deceiving his father Isaac, came in time in humble dependence upon God and turning away from deception and human scheming by the power of God working in his life. We might scratch our heads, especially when it comes to our text and what it says about Joseph, and say, wait a minute, why the focus on especially all that the author mentions in this brief vignette about Joseph is where he wants his bones to be placed? Surely we mentioned something of Joseph's long suffering as he endured imprisonment and his act of faith in forgiving his brothers and about all they meant for evil, but God planned for good. But the writer of the Hebrews doesn't mention that. But only that he made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. But in doing so, Joseph's words point back to the part of last week's reading in Hebrews 11, 13 through 16, which says this, "All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. C.S. Lewis says, "If nothing in this world satisfies me, maybe it's because I was created for another world." He reminds us that our hearts must be rested on the certainty of God's promises to his people and the glory and the riches of heaven that awaits his people, the sure hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. We are reminded that we have another home, another focus beyond this world, which we must continually look for. This theme rests upon the words of Hebrews 11:13-16, in which all the patriarchs of the children of Israel look to the eternal city, whose builder and maker is God. Both Jacob and Joseph had a taste of God's goodness, his faithfulness to keep his promises, but they never saw the fullness of God's promises since they didn't live in the promised land at the time of their death, but dwelt in Egypt. Their looking forward to the city of God is the same that we have in the new covenant. We have the promises of God given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet we too await the fullness of our salvation in the heavenly Jerusalem, in the ultimate promised land in which we will rest from our labors, from sin, injustice, and death itself. And so Joseph and Jacob teach us this lesson, that we look forward to a heavenly country. And in a sense, we too have dual citizenship. We're citizens of the United States, yes, but this is not our final home. And our final loyalty is to Jesus Christ as Lord, the King of the heavenly home that we all yearn for. Next, we come to the faith of Moses. Moses trusted in the Lord and is spoken of in greater length in this passage than either Jacob or Joseph. What we see highlighted in the faith of Moses is his willingness to suffer risk and loss in order to please God. Hebrews 11:24-25 says this, "By faith, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin." Moses was following in the footsteps of his parents, who also risked the wrath of Moses, the wrath of Pharaoh, as they kept their child alive. At that time, Pharaoh wanted all male babies to be killed. And yet, his parents defied that decree and kept him alive. And the daughter of Moses saw him in the reeds and picked him up from the basket and kept baby Moses as her own. It's important for us to pause here and remember that Moses learned that story because his parents told him that story, or they told it through Pharaoh's daughter. It reminds us that we need to pass on the truth of the Christian faith to our children and grandchildren, to the next generation, that they also might put their trust in the Lord. Baptism is a wonderful time to renew our vows as parents and as a congregation, to tell the saving acts of God to the next generation. Moses' parents did this, and it inspired Moses to copy and imitate their faith as he trusted in God in the midst of ill treatment and difficulties. What he did was count and reckon the cost, and it was infinitely more important to reverence and obey God than Pharaoh. He chose to say no to the pleasures of sin and yes to righteousness, even as it was costly for him to do so. Let us also notice that the writer of Hebrews was not content to show Moses' faith in the Lord as an Old Testament believer, but show that Moses was really trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:6 says that Moses was considering the reproaches of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Moses looked to God as his reward and the one who would bring about deliverance for him and for all of God's people. Notice also how the events of God's saving acts of Moses and the children of Israel are pointed forward to in the gospel of Jesus Christ and God's new covenant. Hebrews 11:28 says this, "By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them." We see in the keeping of the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood of the Lamb a foreshadowing of the death of Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God who died for our sins. As this is remembered each time we take Holy Communion, that communion is a fulfillment of the Passover and what Jesus did for us as the final Passover Lamb. Each person, each Israelite who trusted in the Lord and sprinkled blood on the doorpost was saved from death. So each person who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who is sacrificed for our sins is saved from death as well and is forgiven of their sins. The Passover meal was the meal celebrated through Israel's history to commemorate this act of saving deliverance from God Almighty as he had mercy on his people. Holy Communion is a meal of remembrance and thanksgiving to God for saving us from the wages of sin and death. One last detail about Moses' faith in God, which points forward to the Lord Jesus Christ, is the mention of the deliverance of the children of Israel as they passed through the Red Sea and as Pharaoh's army was drowned. Hebrews 11:29 says this, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned." God divided the Red Sea and brought Israel right through the middle onto dry ground. And while Pharaoh's army tried to capture the Jewish people, God brought the waters down on the Egyptian army, and they were drowned in the sea. The Red Sea crossing is a deliverance is a picture and foreshadows what we remember in baptism, as it signifies the work of God burying the sins of his people through the death of Christ and bringing his children to new life through the resurrection of our Lord. Another picture in baptism is that God's people and our sin nature is buried with Christ in baptism, and we are raised to new life in Christ as we are given the gift of being born again and being adopted as God's children. The events of the Red Sea crossing and deliverance were real history that happened in real time. Not a fairy tale, not a fable, real history that happened. But it foreshadows the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection on our behalf, signified in baptism. Jacob, Joseph, Moses. They trusted in God and his promises. They also trusted in God's promises yet to be fulfilled. May God strengthen us to serve and trust him as the saints of the Old Testament served Jehovah God and his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray. O God, the King of all your people, we praise and glorify your holy name for all your servants who have finished their course in your faith and fear. We pray that encouraged by their example, we may also serve you as they did, totally and truly trusting in the merits and mediation of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.